Money and markets. I am continually reminded as I travel the country, going from California back to Tennessee, of the danger and importance of the drought. I talk a lot about weather wars, but clearly we are experiencing throughout the Southwest a very significant drought. There was rain last night, the first rain I saw in about 5 or 6 weeks. It was very, very welcome. All the palm trees have perked up. But if you look at what's happening with drought and the impact on agricultural commodities and on the health of the planet, it's continuing to be a very important phenomena to keep an eye on and having a very dramatic and quiet impact on the economy. Good news, the Fukushima decommissioning so far is going well. I've put several articles up on the blog about that. New report from ShadowStat showing inflation continues to march ahead, way beyond the official statistics. The economy continues to be experiencing slow growth. Existing home sales declined. Retail sales gain was not significant. Clearly, there is no recovery, and the economy continues to struggle. The Vatican got an auditor. I couldn't believe it. That story is up on the blog. Ernst & Young is now providing auditing services to the Vatican, if you can believe that, the world's most private secretive organization. And speaking of private secretive organizations, we're watching the Fed back doing its dance of to taper or not to taper, and trying to intimate that taper is likely to come soon in the coming months. Yellen, not surprising, wins backing of the Senate panel, so the transition of leadership continues to go. We have a new story on waste from the Pentagon. I always get so frustrated when I see those stories. What is going on in the Pentagon is not waste. It's a much, much deeper issue. And so I asked our blogmaster to put up a link to our missing money page. We have documented significant stories of the kind of systemic theft that's going on by and through the Pentagon and I think a lot of this is black budget. You literally have such a divergence between the official reality and reality in the books of the Pentagon. Whatever the Vatican's problems are, they're nothing compared to the Pentagon. And certainly I bet the two are related. CBO study comes up, and there's a commentary. I would really encourage you to go take a look at it. Put forward the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, put forward 103 options to help re-engineer the federal budget, and it'll give you a pretty chilling sense of what might be in our future in 2014 and 2015. I'm not going to try and repeat the whole list here, but check it out, because as I said, I've said for several Solari reports, the deficit figures were much kinder to us this year than expected. Revenues were much higher than expected, and so the deficit squabble didn't really turn mean. That's not going to be the case next year. The revenues won't be there. Many, many stories up on the blog that talk a little bit or really go to the deeper issues that are going to be driving the equity markets, in my opinion. An interesting link on crowdfunding in Southeast Asia. As I said, one of the very important things to understand about the crowdfunding phenomena is it's global, and it's going to be rolling out in continents around the world at the same time. So its impact on building towards an equity model and equity markets is far more important than I think a lot of people, including in the stock exchanges and the traditional financial markets, understand. If you haven't taken a look at our crowdfunding report, I would really encourage you to do it. We have a little crowdfunding section up on the blog on the left, and of course the new crowdfunding regs expected out first quarter 2014. The Chinese reform is very interesting. There are very few populations around the world that really participate in equity. We've watched securitization of companies around the world. Now we're beginning to see the kind of reforms that I believe are going to lead to bringing the retail investor globally into participation in the equity markets. And so I'm very keenly interested in what's happening with the Chinese reform. I think that's part of it. We see companies positioning themselves to get property rights on the moon. This is all part of NASA's privatization effort, where we're now going to see the technology and the the territory created in space very clearly marked for private ownership and corporate ownership. NASA's Maven Mars mission is set for launch this week. I couldn't help but notice the comparison between Obamacare and the trip to Mars. We had 107,000 people sign up for Obamacare through the website, according to the White House. Of course, that doesn't include the state exchanges, which appear to be doing much better. But we had 200,000 people sign up for a one-way trip to Mars. So that's an extraordinary comparison. Financial and commodities markets, there's some very big developments. We had the precious metals market report last week. The transcript will be up by the weekend, and part of what we were talking about centered around a blog post I have up on the blog called "What Percentage of My Assets Should I Hold in Precious Metals?" In it, I describe the fact that at this point, the primary trend is in doubt, so there's a reason to hold your core position, but not hold investment positions. It may be best to go to the sidelines. Franklin Sanders and I debated that in the discussion, and I really encourage you to listen to both positions. But what Franklin did say is if it breaks the 1186 line and goes 3% through that, stays through that, then, of course, the primary trend is broken, in his opinion. If we look at the technical charts this week, there's lots of indications. Charts look very weak, and that could happen. So for those of you who hold precious metals position, investment positions, I really encourage you to take a look at that blog post and listen to the interview. And you want to pay attention now, because if we break those critical lines, we're going to see a real shift in the market. And of course, anything can happen. I have no idea what's going to happen, particularly in the short run. Keep an eye on interest rates. We know that we're very likely coming into a turn in the bond market. We've had interest rate falling essentially since 1980, and that is an enormous wind at our back. I said last night on Coast to Coast that essentially if you're 40 or under, you really have no idea what it is like to live in a world where you don't have that wind in your sails. And it's an enormously important wind in sails. It affects every organization and enterprise, government, company, private, public, whether they know it or not. Let's talk about what the potential of rising interest rates could mean. Of course, for those with variable rate mortgages and credit cards, it's a higher cost of capital to individuals and to households. But look across the board. If you look at companies, companies have depended on borrowing cheap money. A big source of S&P earnings has been this year, with the market strong, has been borrowing money and using it to buy back shares. That game could go away if interest rates really spike. Pension funds hold lots of debt, and they've been buying debt at lower rates. We see the 30-year Treasury bond funds down 10% already for the year. So a lot of big investors are going to be sitting in bonds, and it's really not so easy to literally walk out of those positions, although certainly they can hedge. But you're going to see cost of capital go up for businesses. Where you're really going to see cost of capital go up is for governments. Government spending for the last 30 years has depended on lower and lower interest rates. Without that, it means a bigger bite of the budget's going to go to the creditors. And of course, not only can the spending keep rising, but in fact, it's going to have to cut back to make way for the creditors. Finally, I suspect one of the things that's really managed to bring interest rates down is the enormous number of interest rate swaps in the derivatives books. We've never managed through a period where all of those interest rate swaps have to be managed with a world of rising interest rates. Lord only knows how that's going to work. It's going to be very tricky. So a rising interest rate environment is a very different world than the one we've been in. Now, of course, I think that's one of the reasons there's so much pressure to move to an equity model, because you can either crash the debt down or you can crash the equity up. Now, whether or not it is possible to crash the equity up at this point is uncertain. So there are many different ways this could go, but the intensity and the pressure to move to an equity model is going to get stronger and stronger, particularly now that basically most governments have been stripped of their assets. So those assets are now in private hands. whatever it's going to do, it means the people who are resource rich at this point, having won the financial coup d'etat, are certainly going to be in the relative catbird seat. So it is in and of itself a very significant power shift. So, but keep an eye on that. For many years when there was trouble, everyone could leave the equity and commodity markets and go to fixed income. That's not going to be possible in this kind of environment, is what is expected. Under the category, a really bad idea this week, genetically modified insects. You've got a company trying to get approval in Spain to introduce genetically modified insects that have a DNA which kills females. It's being proposed to control a certain kind of olive pest. The only problem is the larvae live in the olives. So now we're going to have larvae with DNA which kills females. In the olives, we're eating it. Sounds pretty frightening to me. Under a really good idea, Monty Python is reuniting. And if you don't remember Monty Python, it's a British comedian group that will make you laugh and forget your troubles. I strongly recommend it. Check it out. Story up on the blog.